The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
In a weekend interview, Vladimir Putin laughed at the suggestion that you had called him a killer. Is that still your belief, sir, that he is a killer?
The answer to the first question? I'm laughing, too. He has made clear that the answer is, I believe he has in the past essentially acknowledged that he was, there are certain things that he would do or did do. But look, when I was asked that question on air, I answered it honestly. But it's not much of a, I don't think it matters a whole lot in terms of this next meeting we're about to have.
Pretty difficult to watch that there. An 8-second pause as he tried to wrestle with, how do I answer this question as to whether or not Vladimir Putin is a killer. He's due to meet with Vladimir tomorrow. The media, of course, trying to build him up. Time magazine had the big cover shot where he looked younger and was wearing the shades. And he's the tough guy. He's going to be tough on Putin, quite unlike Donald Trump. They have it just the opposite, don't they? He just gave them the pipeline just a few weeks ago. And here are the propaganda media doing everything that they can to convince you and themselves, really, that he's going to play hardball with Vladimir Putin. We thank you for joining us on today's show. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you tuning in. As I said the other day, of course, we produce this every single day, but then there's the content that we're constantly putting up on the Trumpet website, which also plays this program, the live stream of it. So you can get to our daily email briefs. You can get to my Father's Key of David program. You can get to the articles that we post on a daily basis. You can subscribe to the Trumpet magazine as well. All of that and more at thetrumpet.com. Well, there you saw the illegitimate president, and more people are speaking up and saying exactly that. We'll come to some of the election news. The audits going on in Arizona, the one that's about to go on in Georgia. People are finally speaking up when they wouldn't do it back in November and December. But now some, even weaker Republicans, are digging deep into their character and finding a little bit of courage. A little bit. Not nearly enough, but there's some speaking out. Bill O'Reilly, I think, I don't know if it was a column at a newspaper. He wrote something recently. In fact, he said in this piece that he was at that New York Islanders hockey game. I don't know if it was the same one where we played that national anthem. Remember when all of the fans in the stadium started singing and drowning out the singer, actually. And he made this comment, Bill O'Reilly did, the former Fox News anchor. He said, there is a backlash coming against President Biden and his administration. It says, I was at the Long Island Coliseum last night for the Islander Bruins game. Islanders won and so on. He says, but I wasn't in a private box. He says, I was out with the folks and everybody is. What's going on? What's going to happen? We're very worried about it. It's unbelievable. So these are interactions that he was having with Long Islanders, people in New York, saying, what's going to happen? How is this going to be made right? As more and more people wake up to the fact that the perfect election was as much of a lie as the virus never started in that lab. Both of them, big lies, huge lies. Just even at the show last night for Celtic Throne. I had a pretty fascinating conversation with two usher ladies just before the show was about to start. I asked them if they were going to watch the show, and they said, "Oh, absolutely. I saw these kids warming up, and they're really good." Both of them loved the show, because my wife happened to be sitting next to them while she was taking down some notes for the performers and such. In any event, I'm having this conversation. One of them just says, "People around here, I talked about how there were 600 people coming out for the show, which was really good for a small town in the panhandle of Texas, Amarillo." And she said, "Oh, people are just so sick and tired of COVID, 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 COVID. And they don't want to wear a mask, and they're sick of the social distancing." And then we got on the subject of Donald Trump, and she called Donald Trump the real president. And she said, not unlike some of the trumpet briefs we've sent out, she said, "He's coming back. He's coming back." These are ordinary Americans that know what's going on. They know CNN is lying to them. They know Time Magazine, when it comes out with this cover, making Joe Biden out to be some tough guy that's going to really put it to Putin. I don't think Putin is quaking in his boots. This article, "How Biden Plans to Get Tough on Vladimir Putin in the Geneva Summit." He's going there tomorrow. Look at this. Look at this feature in Time Magazine. How is he going to really be tough on Putin? It says Vladimir Putin spent much of 2020 orchestrating. Listen to this little tidbit, by the way. Putin spent much of 2020 orchestrating a brazen influence campaign to stop Joe Biden from becoming the 46th president of the United States. A brazen campaign. In other words, Putin was meddling in our elections. So I guess the 2020 election wasn't so perfect after all. Here, though, he's meddling in favor of Donald Trump. So that we can talk about, right? Russia, Russia, Russia. We can continue on with the Russia hoax. And meanwhile, you've got tens of thousands of fake ballots with no signatures, all voting for Joe Biden. And the truth is coming out. The truth is about to explode into the mainstream. That's right. It says here, in Time, "Failing at that, the Russian autocrats spent the first 5 months of the Biden term presiding over a series of attacks by criminal organizations and state-led agencies against America's gas and food supplies at home." Well, this is true, actually. Attacks from Russia. That's right. What's he going to do to stop this? Joe Biden, the fake president, the tough president, judging by that cover on Time Magazine. What's he going to do? It says, "Now Biden is preparing to get tough when he sits down in Geneva with Putin for the first time as president." See, he does it perfectly. Just like the election was perfect, just like the way we've handled COVID was perfect. If it's Donald Trump doing anything, Donald Trump coming out saying one statement or tweeting out one comment, it's the beginning of World War III. There's no doubting that. He could do no right when he met with Putin. I think it was John Brennan. Didn't John Brennan come out after the meeting that Trump had with Putin and say that Trump was guilty of treason? And now it's just perfect. I mean, Joe Biden, the media-anointed fake president, is going to get tough on Putin. Even as we've sustained all of these attacks, these cyber attacks, coming from Vladimir Putin. It says, "Biden is qualified to lead the approach," says Time Magazine. "He spent decades in debates on U.S.-Russia relations as a member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and as VP." So, I mean, this is his strong point, foreign policy. Didn't you just hear him? Well, what about Vladimir laughing off the fact that you've called him a killer and he doesn't know what to say? Here they're saying he's a foreign policy expert. He's the perfect man for the job, the career politician. It says, asked how much time the president has spent preparing for the trip, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said he's been getting ready for 50 years. Wow, that's perfect, isn't it? He was born for this. Well, we'll see about that. We'll see about that. He doesn't want to do a joint press conference. Donald Trump did that, no problem. He doesn't want to come out onto the same stage with Vladimir Putin and a bunch of reporters from the West and from Russia that might ask him something he's not prepared for. He came out yesterday, by the way, 3 hours late for his press conference, and there was no explanation. What happened? Nothing. Then he confuses Syria for Libya or vice versa three times. Not once, not twice, but over and again. And he gets a complete free pass on that, of course. Can do no wrong. Listen again to Joe Biden yesterday talking about whether or not Russia is an adversary or maybe could be an adversary. This is clip two.
And what's your mindset walking into a meeting with a former KGB agent who you've said has no soul?
I'll tell you all that when it's over. Look, I've been doing this a long time. The last thing anyone would do is negotiate in front of the world press as to how he's going to approach a critical meeting with another adversary and or someone who could be an adversary.
An adversary could be an adversary. Not entirely sure yet whether or not he's going to have an adversarial relationship with Vladimir Putin, leading Russia, all these cyber attacks on the United States. And if he is guilty of meddling into the election, well, now's the time for tough talk. Time magazine says it's coming. We'll have, I suppose, a little more to say about that tomorrow or the next day. I didn't quite get to this update. I don't believe I did yesterday, but this is an update on vaccine deaths. Came out, I believe, Friday evening over the weekend. So this is from VAERS, okay? This is not conspiracy theory. This is from the CDC. And you've heard all the sound bites. Go back to Friday's program, The Vaccine is Killing People. And see what several experts have to say. Not experts of the Anthony Fauci variety, but experts that have been sounding the alarm. Saw another one just this morning. This doctor warning that the vaccine's more dangerous for children than COVID-19. I mean, that's a point we've made on this show. So the numbers are now up to just about 6,000. 6,000 reported fatalities in 2021. This is just this year. And they're attributed to vaccinations during the first half of this year. So the numbers, these are the reported incidents. The numbers are in, nearly 6,000 dying from the vaccine, 5,888 directly attributed to COVID vaccinations. And of course, a lot of people have some questions even about this high profile collapse on the soccer pitch over the weekend. Christian Eriksen, 29-year-old in good health. He played 8 years in the Premier League when we were over in the UK. I think he plays in Europe somewhere now. But here he suffers from cardiac arrest right in front of the whole world on TV. And there's a few, should be more. Tom Berenson, the one that goes on Tucker a fair bit, he's saying, we'd sure like to hear from Mr. Eriksen as soon as he feels good that whether or not he took the vaccine. Did the vaccine have anything to do with this? Of course, the Twitter police, the social media police, they were quick to say, oh, it has nothing to do with the vaccination. He wasn't vaccinated. He didn't do this. He didn't do that. Well, you can't read any of these things anymore without thinking about the Wuhan lab lie, the election was perfect lie. And now here are these incidents of people just dropping dead. Eriksen evidently was dead. They brought him back to life with CPR and such. So you hope the man is doing okay. 29 years old, though. That doesn't happen very often. It could happen, I suppose, without the vaccine. Of course, it could in a world of billions of people. But it's very unusual for someone as fit as a star athlete to just keel over on the soccer pitch. So this is Conservative Treehouse updating the figures. Well, actually, VAERS updating the figures. Judicial Watch also had a bit of a revelation yesterday. It says here, we're now learning that U.S. officials using your tax dollars were more deeply involved with the notorious Wuhan lab in China than anyone knew. The agency headed by Dr. Anthony Fauci is reluctantly revealing the details only because we sued them. See, they don't want to just make it known. They got to hide it. That's what the Fauci emails prove. People have to go to court, like Judicial Watch. They have to go to court just to be able to get access to the information that these people try to cover up. They say one thing to their friends in the expert community, and they say another thing to you. Put on the double mask. Huddle in the basement. Get the vaccine. And then look at what they do. Like I said yesterday, when they're at the cocktail parties with the G7 group, they're exposed as hypocrites. Judicial Watch says, we obtained 280 pages of documents from the Department of Health and Human Services revealing that from 2014 to 2019, $826,000 was given to the Wuhan Institute of Virology for bat coronavirus research. For bat coronavirus research. That's Fauci's group. Almost $1 million over that 5-year period. Now, as I've said before, why would we be funding anything in China, anything like this, in the communist-controlled Chinese nation? But Fauci's group, you've heard about Peter Daszak. There's this email exchange between, well, I don't need to get into it, but Daszak reassures someone that, oh, yeah, everything's fine on the renewal. They knew what they were doing. Remember, Fauci back in May lied. He just lied and told Rand Paul in Congress that, no, we never funded that. Never, never would have done that. And then the truth comes out. More lies exposed. Listen to this banter between the two comedians last night. Jon Stewart, he's on with Stephen Colbert. And listen to what Stewart has to say about what came out from that Wuhan lab. This is clip 3.
I think we owe a great debt of gratitude to science. Science has, in many ways, helped ease the suffering of this pandemic, which was more than likely caused by science. There's a novel respiratory coronavirus overtaking Wuhan, China. What do we do? Oh, you know who we could ask? The Wuhan novel respiratory coronavirus lab. The disease is the same name as the lab. If you look at the name, look at the name.
There they are joking about what was all last year a dangerous conspiracy theory. And now it's out into the open, and you've got one comedian who I guess feels comfortable enough to come out and state the obvious, the truth. The truth that came right out of the lab has the same name even, as he says there. Of course it did. Science, they've done a few things to help us in this trial that we're in, but they also caused it. You've heard that on this program multiple times. And now it's finally made its way into the talk show circuit. And it's being joked about. So how much longer before someone like that jokes about the obvious election fraud from November 3rd? All of this is connected. It's all part of the big lie. And that's aimed at destroying Donald Trump. Election integrity. Will it be a few months down the road, 6 months down the road? How long will it be before people, even on the left, begin to acknowledge what we've been telling you for months and months and months. I mentioned yesterday on the program this chain of custody scandal. Here's an election official in Fulton County coming forward and saying, yeah, there's quite a few of the documents missing. So in other words, ballot boxes showed up with all kinds of ballots, some of them without signatures, and there's no chain of custody to even explain what that ballot box is connected to, where it came from, who supervised it. A lot of the official documents have gone missing. It says here, this is from the Georgia Star News, Fulton County told the Star News in response to open records requests. See, again, they've got to make these requests. Look, we have a right by law to be able to look at the records, to be able to examine the evidence. It's never been done. And just like with Wuhan Lab, they say the conspiracy was debunked at the very beginning. Okay, when as soon as Donald Trump said it last April and then Pompeo in May, then immediately the media said, no, it's been thoroughly debunked, the Wuhan Lab theory. And to believe that, I mean, you'd have to be not just a conspiracy theorist, you're dangerous. And so it's the same thing with November 3rd. All of this fraud, all of this late night, these shenanigans going on right through the night, the water main burst, people going home except for the few, pulling the trays of ballots out from under the table. All of that, what you saw was fraud. People saw it with their own eyes. And then the evidence started pouring forth. All of the witnesses signing affidavits saying, yeah, I witnessed it. Or I was prevented from observing. I couldn't see anything. They were hiding their activities. What did they have to hide? Doesn't matter, says the propaganda media. We've already decided it's just a conspiracy theory. It's been thoroughly debunked. So it says here, after this open records request initiated in December, that a few forms are missing and that some procedural paperwork may have been misplaced. It says 7 months after the election, Fulton County has been unable to produce 385 transfer forms out of an estimated 1,565 transfer forms, according to their own documentation. Their own records prove that they're missing. What is that? 385 out of 1,565? So they're missing like three, maybe 20, 30%? Of the official documentation. Georgia, Joe Biden won, we'll put that in quotes, he won Georgia by 11,000 votes. And what we're talking about here is tens of thousands of absentee ballots. Absentee ballots that went overwhelmingly for Joe Biden, something like 90%. And thousands of them that didn't even have signatures. People don't want to sign it because, well, if you sign it, you're leaving a trail for your corruption. They produce the fake ballots. They stuff it into the box, some without signatures, and then they just hope that someone like Brad Raffensperger will just say, hey, don't worry about anything. Everything was perfect. And it stays hidden away in a warehouse somewhere, the evidence of fraud. Says the number of transfer forms and the absentee ballots they represent are about 25% of the total transfer forms and absentee ballots deposited in the boxes, drop boxes in Fulton County during the election, significantly greater than a few by any objective standard. So remember early on it was perfect. Then it's not enough fraud to overturn the results. And now you're looking at 25%. Of chain of custody. You heard about that in November from witnesses coming forward signing affidavits. And what was Brad Raffensperger and others saying at the time? Well, listen to this sit down with 60 Minutes. This goes back to January 10th. And listen to how Raffensperger responds to the CBS journalist. Clip 5.
What can you tell on national television on 60 Minutes right now? What can you tell the American people about the integrity of the 2020 presidential election in the state of Georgia?
We had safe, secure, honest elections, and the results are disappointing if you are a Republican, but those are the results.
Safe, secure, and honest, he says. And he's had his assistants out there, Gabe Sterling, his colleague Jeff Duncan, even Governor Kemp. They've all just gone along with this narrative. Raffensperger wrote on November 21st, this was in the Washington Post, he says, Georgia just finished its first statewide hand recount, a cutting-edge process that was developed for verifying the accuracy of election results, and that is considered the gold standard in election integrity. Oh, yes, we did the recount. We did it in about 18 hours. We did it in just a few days. Everything's good. I mean, it's the gold standard. That's what he was saying back in November when they were rushing to certify the results of this fraudulent election in Georgia, where it was perhaps worse than any other state. I'll go ahead and say it. That's right. It says here in the Georgia Star News, as recently as early an early April press release, Raffensperger gave Fulton and 119 other counties a clean bill of health with regard to filling out and retaining absentee ballot drop box transfer forms in accordance with Georgia rules. As recently as April, he's saying, yeah, Fulton County, they did it right. All the chain of custody, it was just perfect. These people are corrupt. They're crooks. They're traitors. They're part of an actual coup. It says here, meanwhile, Fulton County had 75,000 to 79,000 absentee ballots submitted via drop boxes, a number that varies in Fulton County's documentation, which represents more than 12% of the estimated 600,000 absentee ballots deposited in drop boxes throughout the state. It says here, earlier this month, the Georgia GOP convention censured Secretary of State Raffensperger for dereliction of his constitutional duty. He's been censured by the state Senate in Georgia. It says here, this dereliction of duty included undermining the security of our elections by allowing mass mailings of absentee applications by his office and third parties, which created opportunities for fraud and overwhelmed election offices. So he finally gets censured earlier this month. We're 6, 7, 8 months out from the election. And finally, the truth is beginning to come out. It's finally beginning to come out. It says here, Raffensperger, in an interview with the New York Times, made a prediction about the absentee ballot audit. At the end of the day, they're going to get the same results that we got after November. So that was just a few weeks ago. Then this election official in Fulton County comes out and says, we're missing, or it's been misplaced, it's nowhere to be found. We're missing about 25% of the documentation. So we really don't know anything about these ballots. To which Raffensperger tweeted out yesterday, I want you to listen to this, it's very revealing. He said yesterday, new revelations that Fulton County is unable to produce all ballot drop box transfer documents will be investigated thoroughly, as we have the other counties that failed to follow Georgia rules and regulations regarding drop boxes. This cannot continue. But I thought it was perfect. You've been telling us this for months. Now he seems like he's a little bit worried and concerned. Now it seems like he's trying to get back on the right side of the law. All along, he was saying, perfect, perfect, perfect. But what were they saying? Here he says now, I should say, that, well, we this is concerning. We definitely want to look into this. You heard Raffensperger a moment ago on CBS. Here's a montage of Raffensperger and all of his friends in Georgia, all of his never-Trump Republicans who worked together with Stacey Abrams to rig the election in Georgia, and not just the election for Donald Trump, but also for two Republican senators as well. That's right. You would think Mitch McConnell would be fighting like a few are in Georgia, in Arizona. Mitch McConnell could get control of the Senate back if he'd get in there and help expose this fraud. Listen to this montage of Georgia officials, clip six.
Working as an engineer throughout my life, I live by the motto that numbers don't lie. As Secretary of State, I believe that the numbers that we have presented today are correct. There are those who are exploiting the emotions of many Trump supporters with fantastic claims, half-truths, misinformation, and frankly, they are misleading the president as well, apparently.
It has all gone too far. All of it. It has to stop.
And our investigators have seen no widespread fraud either.
We've never found systemic fraud, not enough to overturn the election.
Do you believe the election was rigged?
I don't. What is a fair and legal election here in Georgia? We continue to chase down all the little one-off leads that we've got. I know the Secretary of State, the GBI are working on one-off issues like we would probably see in any other election. But I believe the election was fair and legal. This isn't a third world country here in Georgia. We've been running elections for a long, long time. And
we have now counted legally cast ballots three times, and the results remain unchanged. Truth matters. Today, the Secretary of State's office will be recertifying our state's election results.
They say, well, we feel like our election was stolen. We feel like our votes don't count. And I said, okay, I'm not acknowledging that the election was stolen because it wasn't. I'm not acknowledging that there was massive voter fraud because there wasn't. But I said,
Mr. President, you already lost the state of Georgia. And the thing now is, no matter what you say, you can't undermine the people of Georgia's integrity to know their voting system works and their vote is going to count at the end of the day, one way or the other, how this election comes out.
We had safe, secure, honest elections.
There's Raffensperger again at the end there. Safe, secure, honest. But now he's ready to investigate. Finally! Finally he's ready. He tweeted this out yesterday as well. Restoring confidence in our elections is going to be impossible as long as Fulton County's elections leadership continues to fail the voters of Fulton County and the voters of Georgia. They need new leadership to step up and take charge. Well, what a different message this is now compared to November and December, compared to January, compared to April even. Restoring confidence? This is the Secretary of State of Georgia now talking about restoring confidence in our elections. And how it's going to be impossible, his word, not mine, impossible, unless that county gets some new leadership. Wow, what a change. What does he know? What does he know about what's coming when the lid is finally blown off of this? I think he knows something. I think he knows a lot more than your average, ordinary American citizen. They know it in their gut. They know that the evidence hasn't been examined. And he's been sitting on the evidence. All of his friends there, Gabe Sterling, Jeff Duncan, Governor Kemp. Now they seem a little bit worried. My sister, by the way, we played those clips yesterday from Merrick Garland issuing all those threats saying we're going to scrutinize these new election laws, these 14 states, how dare those state legislators pass laws that would enforce election integrity? And then he issues a threat, multiple threats, and says we're getting more agents so that we can investigate the investigators. They like doing that. Scrutinizing the scrutinizers. Here's a replay of one of the clips we played yesterday, the fake Attorney General Merrick Garland from Friday, clip eight.
We will apply the same scrutiny to post-election audits to ensure they abide by federal statutory requirements to protect election records and avoid the intimidation of voters.
My sister made the remark that all those clips we played of him yesterday, he just seemed kind of nervous, like he... He's not quite the intimidator, or at least the intimidating presence. His words were certainly intimidating. And he's sent the letter there threatening the Republicans in Arizona. But he's not quite the intimidating presence like Eric Holder, for example. One of the most extreme radicals from the communist left that we've ever seen in that office. But he's under a lot of pressure, Merrick Garland, because, well, Rachel Maddow, Eric Holder, I've played clips from last week. They're out there saying, oh, yes, the DOJ needs to be aggressive in trying to shut down what's happening in Arizona. And on yesterday's program, I gave you that comment I think she's a state senator, a Republican who used to be in the Air Force. And she basically said over the weekend to Merrick Garland, you come out here, we're going to put you in jail. You don't have anything to do with this state operation. We have the Constitution on our side. Well, following that, you have this total smackdown coming from the Attorney General of Arizona, and he's writing this to the man you just heard, Merrick Garland. He's writing this to the Attorney General of the United States. And he says, your alarming disdain for state sovereignty. He's just stunned. Your disdain for state rights, state sovereignty. Listen to some from this letter. This is the Attorney General in Arizona. His name is Mark Brnovich. And he writes to Attorney General Merrick Garland. And he says, my office is not amused by the DOJ's posturing and will not tolerate any effort to undermine or interfere with our state Senate's audit to reassure Arizonans of the accuracy of our elections. We stand ready to defend federalism and state sovereignty against any partisan attacks or federal overreach. Strong words. Now, I'm not sure if he's a never-Trumper, like Raffensperger was, I guess is. But some of these weaker Republicans, they're starting to develop a spine. The lid, as I say, it's about to blow off all of this, and the corruption's going to be there in plain view for everyone to see. Says it's important to remember that the states created the federal government, not the other way around. This is quite the civics lesson for Merrick Garland. It's important for you to understand that the states were here first and that we created the federal government. Of course, the DOJ, the FBI, they all spring from the executive branch in the federal government. It says America's founders intentionally restrained the federal government's constitutional boundaries to ensure each state could flourish in unique ways. Today, our federal government has largely forgotten the founders' intent, but my office has not. Wow! A state attorney general writing this to the Attorney General of the United States. It says here, there are no issues more important for states to prioritize than the integrity of our elections. This is the cornerstone of our republic, binding together the people's trust in the whole of government. Today, we see mistrust in our elections from Americans on all sides of the political spectrum. This should not be a partisan issue. States can and should take every opportunity to reassure all citizens that their vote counts. Everybody should agree on this. Everybody should be for election integrity. Everybody should be against cheating. Everybody should be against stealing. It says, finally, Arizona will not sit back and let the Biden administration abuse its authority, refuse to uphold laws, or attempt to commandeer our state's sovereignty. That, my friends, is a complete and total smackdown. Maybe that's why, as my sister was saying, maybe that's why Merrick Garland looked a little bit nervous and lacked a little bit of that intimidation factor when he was giving that speech on Friday. because he knows constitutionally, he knows he doesn't have a leg to stand on. They're worried, aren't they? Yes, indeed, they are. 14 state delegations visiting the Arizona audit process. 14 states out of 50. We only talk about the five or six swing states where there was obvious corruption. Well, there's other states, a lot more than five or six, that are looking at Arizona as an example of what we all need to do to make sure that this never happens again, to make sure, perhaps, that this is fixed sooner rather than later. There's constitutional arguments about what happens when states decertify the process and what it means and whether or not Trump comes in, and it's obviously going to go to some court battle, I would think. But there's at least a few voices out there saying, look, it doesn't matter how this gets sorted out as far as who ends up in the White House, but we have to go and look at this evidence. We have to expose the fraud. We have to put some people in jail that were cheating. So here are a few, as I say, a few fairly weak Republicans. All of a sudden, you see, all of a sudden they're changing their tune. They're ready to fight because they see the fraud being exposed. When we come back, we'll conclude today's program with a short study on just bearing down in this period that we're in and making sure that we don't allow ourselves to get complacent or lethargic spiritually. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you listening. We always do. And we ask and invite feedback, if you like. You can email the program, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
Well, when you look at what we've witnessed in our nation, as I talked about in the first segment there, or some of you are quite familiar with the history of God's church in these last days, and we've seen so many people just fall away or turn away from foundational truth. In the case of the nation, getting away from the Constitution, the founding documents, the founding fathers, and in the spiritual nation of Israel, just getting away from that bedrock foundation that you have in the Holy Bible that Herbert Armstrong was there teaching us for decades. God's servant, the spirit or the sin of complacency, it really is a sin, the sin of omission. There's obviously sins of commission, sins that you do, acts that are sinful, but what about the sin of neglect, as Paul said in Hebrews 2, not doing what you should do, not doing what God says that we should do, day in and day out, drawing near to God, so many of our brethren in this last era of the church have fallen victim to that spirit of complacency, that spirit of lukewarmness, as it says in Revelation 3. They're neither hot nor cold, but they're just lukewarm. They're indifferent. They're apathetic. 2 Peter 1 and verse 8. And it says here, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." If God's Spirit, if these truths, if they're dwelling in us and they abound, as it says there in verse 8, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. You're going to be producing fruit. You're going to be a fruitful Christian. You won't be like a spiritual drone, but you'll actually be out there bearing fruit, much fruit, as it says in John 15. Notice this passage, John 15 and verse 1. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it might bring forth more fruit." It's a real positive orientation, God's correction. Even when he prunes us back, even when he cuts off the unfruitful limb, it's for the purpose of promoting more growth and development in the tree. And you can look at that either on the individual level or in the collective sense. God wants us to produce. We have to grow. There's either we're growing or we're dying. It's no in between, is it? Verse 3, it says, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Studying God's word, receiving that truth, being a doer of the word, as it says in James 1. And then God giving us understanding, adding depth to our knowledge. Verse 4, it says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me." Verse 5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." See, Christ has to fill our lives. We can't do anything without him. And, of course, he taught us that he couldn't do anything without the Father. We need God and his Son, Jesus Christ, involved in our lives. We need them right at the center of what we're doing, the activities that we're engaged in, the studies, the careers that we build, the families, the marriages and families that we build. It says in verse 8, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. See, we have to be joined to the vine. We have to be connected to the trunk of the tree. It says in verse 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples." This is how we bring glory to God. If we're bearing fruit, if we're growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's in 2 Peter 3. I think that might be in my notes later. If not, just jot it down and look at it later, a wonderful verse that we quote often. Verse 16, here in John 15, it says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." So if we're continuing to bear fruit, that means we're putting forth the effort. That means we're driving ourselves to draw closer to God. There's so many verses that talk about us continuing in this way that we're in, or this path that we're on. We can't succumb to discouragement. We can't slow down. You get up each day. I experience this just even with the news cycle, and it's a challenge just to wrap your mind around everything. There's so much that's going on. And yet God wants us to really lay that foundational bedrock so that we're on, no matter what's going on around us, we're standing on solid ground. we're filling up on the laws of God, on God's way of life. It was wonderful to see some of the enthusiasm of our viewers of this program traveling 2 and 3 hours just to view Celtic Throne in Amarillo, Texas. Just flying into that little city, there really wasn't much around. Just lots and lots of farmland and then a relatively small city. And yet 600 people coming from miles around, in the case of 15 or 20 of them, viewers, regular viewers of this program that just wanted to get to wherever the closest Celtic Throne program was playing because of just how uplifting and inspiring the message is. It's coming to a city near you, perhaps. Birmingham, Alabama, Nashville, Memphis, Little Rock. There's still a few tour dates left, at least in this run, this summer run. There may be a future run for Celtic Throne as well. But we need that. We need God's truth. We need God's message to remain hopeful and joyous and positive in this very dark and evil world. I was having a discussion to that end with just a trumpet reader, not a member of the church, but someone who reads our trumpet briefs and such. And he was certainly nodding in agreement when we were talking about just how negative and evil the world is today. People can see there's something dreadfully wrong. This woman, this usher at the show last night, as I mentioned earlier, she sees the theft and the fraud, and she's wondering how it's going to be fixed. She's wondering how this could go on, why there aren't even more people speaking up. Well, the reason for all that is because we've drifted so far from God, and we've settled into this spirit of complacency to where there's just not that many people willing to act, willing to speak out, willing to stand up for what's right. Spiritually, that's all we have. If we don't have that bedrock foundation, it's like Jesus said in the parable, as soon as the storm comes along and, you know, our structure is built and established on sand, it's just going to wash away. There needs to be strength and stability in our spiritual foundation. And the way to develop that is to grow. To grow. Matthew 5 and verse 48, it says, "Become you therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." You know how we know there's a lot of imperfection in elections and science, in medicine? We know there's a lot of imperfection because we're not aiming to be perfect like God. We're not looking to God and His law for guidance and direction. We're not looking to God's law as the final say. It's just every man doing what seems right in his own eyes. Of course there's dishonesty. Of course there's cheating. Of course there's fraud. That's just the way of human nature. That's just the way we all go. If we don't have God and His word to keep us in check, become perfect like God in heaven is perfect. One last verse. This is Proverbs 4 and verse 18. It says, "But the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day." The path of the just, it's just a bright, illuminating light. That's what people see when they go view Celtic Throne, whether they know it or not. You can tell by the reaction after the show, like we saw last night in the lobby. People just overjoyed. Children with smiles on their faces. Parents just raving to the performers. "Thank you so much for visiting our town. What a wonderful program." And all the children and the youths that we put on the stage. It's a wonderful, uplifting production. That's all that we have time for on today's show. We, as always, thank you for joining us. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Email us, td@thetrumpet.com. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.